there it is. It's Thursday night, the 2nd of June. I'm Chip Gibson, the resident tree hugger, and you're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. Wow, it's been a hot one here in Atlanta. I mean, coming home this evening, the thermometer in my car said 100 degrees at 4:30 when I pulled out of the parking lot. It is a sweltering south, and we're only on the 2nd of June. I say good evening to Bill Haywood Howard. Hey, Bill, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. Still can't find the chat room.
Still can't find a chat room. Well, we're working on building a big giant button saying push here, Bill. So
yeah.
We're getting that worked out. And you heard the giggle in the background. That would be the sinister laugh of Rob, a bad backcast, DeVore. Hello, Rob. How are you?
Hey. Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just hot and sweaty and enjoying a Sweetwater road trip. One of their seasonal brews, man.
Man, I'm telling you, the summer's definitely here.
It arrived quickly. Here you go. Oh, yeah, that's good. And also in the house with us tonight, Mr. Greg Becker, the only other man that I know that takes a great picture of Bill Howard without his head on.
That would be the best kind. Good evening, everybody.
Hey, man, how are you?
Doing great, thanks.
Those are some good pictures, if I must say so myself. Greg and I are pretty good photographers.
Yeah, but they're awesome.
Yeah, it's all on the camera, though.
I know. When he let you take the picture, Greg, did he, like, hang the camera around your neck like some priest giving you a holy, you know, garment and vestment?
You know, I got to tell you, the first time it was the funniest thing was watching the expression on his face as he's reaching out to hang the camera on my neck for the first time.
Yep.
And it was almost like it was painful for him to let it go. He didn't know whether he wanted the picture of the fish that much or whether he really wanted to look up with the camera or what, but it worked out okay so far. So
I looked at
like your head might roll off or something. The camera might end up in the water.
You never know. It could happen.
It's like a good, you know, military guy. You know, he gives you the instruction. Don't drop it in the water.
Man. It's like, why
are you handing it to me?
That's a zillion-dollar camera, man. You don't want to be – those things are like – salt water and those things don't go together, man.
Not at all. Not at all. But they were great pictures. My wife loves the picture of the snapper.
Yeah, that one.
Am I really? I'm on my headset tonight, so. I thought I would sit downstairs where it was cooler. The upstairs is just bloody hot, so. Is that better?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
You were saying something about your wife?
Yeah, she enjoyed the picture that Bill took of her and the Snapper, the salty dog there. So.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
That little dog, when we went to Homosassa on Monday, we went up to Homosassa and put in and paddled up to the head springs. And she was on my boat because the wife and the clone were sharing a tandem. She blew her elbow out and couldn't paddle that much. And so that little dog was standing out on the front of my prowler. And everywhere we went, people were, look at that little dog. Isn't she cute? I'm like, yeah, she'll bite your ass too. So, but she's not a friendly little dog. She's just more interested in, I mean, she dove in right after when those dolphins swam by. I mean, she dove in after them like she's going to go get one, you know? So
that's funny. I wish I could take my dog out there like that, man, but she's 70 pounds and a little bit taller.
So, right.
I don't really have a place for her on the stealth, man, except
well,
the back maybe, but I don't know if she would stay in there the whole time or not.
Well, I saw a listing on Craigslist here locally the other day. It was somebody looking for a small, flat-topped kayak so that they could put their German Shepherd on it. They said the German Shepherd likes to go with them. And they were just going to tow the dog around. So, I guess. But I just think that would be more problem. The little dog is not a big deal. So, well, what have we got going on here tonight? Let's see who's in the chat room. We got Fishing Chef. I know he is, let's see.
From the Yak Angler.
Yep, he's a Yak Angler guy, and I can't remember where he's at. But he'll tell us here in just a second when the delay catches.
He might be up there with Greg.
I think he might be. And then there's Ghost 1066. That's Tommy. Good evening, Tommy. And hope you're doing well. Surfboard and a pat eye to toe is Isaac the Nothing Miller comments. I see that D just showed up in the chat room. And Hammerhead, our guest host from last night's Mid-Atlantic kayak fishing show. I hope he has recovered. In fact, we'll let's see. What do we got here? 6, 7, 8. That would be Dino Bowling. Hey, Dino. How are you, brother?
Hot, man. I'm hot.
You're telling me it's hot. Holy cow, yeah. Man.
Jeez.
What's the temperature up your way?
It's pushing probably 91, 92, I guess.
Yeah.
Feels like 102.
It said 100 on the car today when I pulled to the parking lot at CDC. So
I can believe it.
So just as long as we have plenty of. Oh yeah.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Enjoying a little Sweetwater brew here, the unofficial beer of Kayak Fishing Radio. So Dino is our vice president of GKF, Georgia Kayak Fishing, here in you're in Gainesville though, right?
Yes, sir.
And we basically just tell folks Atlanta, they figure it out, right? We got a big event this weekend, Dino.
Yes, sir, we do. A real big event.
My favorite of all the ones we've done. It's the annual Henry County Special Olympics event, and we just got a great time planned for Saturday with the kids, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty big event. I think Doug said we're supposed to have close to 100 folks.
Yep.
Athletes, their parents, and all that stuff, you know.
I thought we had easy that last year.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so.
I mean, I think the barbecue group there that fed us lunch and everything, I think they said they gave out like 80 or 100 meals, so.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
I think they're going to be real surprised to get a trailer and 4 Phoenix kayaks, you know, for their cause, so.
I can't wait to see the trailer.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to that.
Are they doing some kind of special wrap on it?
Yeah. Actually, I'm not sure exactly what it's going to be, but I'm kind of I think it's actually going to have their Special Olympics logo, and I think it's going to have our P4T logo on it, if I'm not mistaken.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not sure, you know. I think Rob Miller was pretty much taking care of that little deal for us, so.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be fun. What time are we supposed to be there Saturday morning, or if anybody's listening?
I think the club will be there as far as the members and some of the volunteers will probably be there, probably 7:30 or 8-ish.
Right.
Getting stuff set up and trying to get everything organized. You know, it's going to be a pretty hectic day anyway, so.
Right.
A lot going on.
Yep. Well, I'll be there. Try to get some audio and make a little podcast. We'll have it on for next week's show. I know Bill wanted to join us, but he's got other engagements, right, Bill?
Yeah, I did. I really wanted to try to get up there, but I'm able to swing it.
All right. Well, there'll be another year. We're doing it again. And I did see that we're going to have we're actually going to have the director of the Georgia Special Olympics there with us.
Yep.
So, look for it to be bigger next year, right?
Yep. We're actually hoping to make it an actual sanctioned event every year for the Special Olympics because they do not have a kayaking venue on their roster, on their calendar.
Right.
For each year, you know, so we're hoping to actually get them involved in what we're doing, you know. So that was the reason why Doug Larrabee pretty much raised the funds from all the sponsors. And we said, well, shoot, let's just get them four kayaks and a trailer and get them set up, you know.
Right.
So that's how that was the route that we took to get them involved in the kayaking, you know.
Yep.
Should be awesome, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It really is. Yeah, so yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep.
Unfortunately, I had double booked myself. I thought I don't know what I was thinking, but I had two sets of calendars going, and I was planning on going up to Kentucky to the Cumberland tournament, but going to miss that because the Special Olympics is kind of closer to home. Got to take care of it. So.
Is Susan still doing that in Kentucky?
Yes. Yes, that's this weekend also. So.
Right.
Good luck to all the folks going up there. I think Pam Funk and some of the other folks from Yak Angler are headed up that way. So.
Nice.
But anyway, so this past weekend, we headed to Cedar Key. I heard Bill talk about going to Cedar Key. They do tax camp every year, right, Bill?
We usually go up there, you know, once, twice a year.
Uh-huh.
This is the first time that we kind of went, you know, and called it tax camp. But we usually go up this time of year and camp out. And then we'll go up later in August for tarpon up there. But we stay at where you stay.
Right. Now,
'cause it's too hot to camp out.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Sunday afternoon was just bloody hot there. I mean, I don't know if... let me see, I got my... Brett hadn't showed up, but it was hot. We were out until about 3:30, 4 o'clock. When we come in, we were soaked, and we didn't even have to get in the water. It was just really hot. But it's good. I was really amazed at... when the water did flow, just how much mud is in the water there. I mean, that water is...
You're just a few miles from the Suwannee. It's right above you. So, you know, all that water dumps out, comes down right into there. And so there's a lot of mixture of fresh water and salt. And it gets pretty churned up.
Right. But we got out there and met Bill and Ken from and met them at Shell Mound Saturday morning, 0600. The clone immediately began running around in circles as all of the no-see-ums and midges were attacking him. It took him about an hour to get himself composed and figure out that all he had to do was pull his buff up over his head and they would leave him alone. But he said he had several of them. He was quite sure that they had gone into his ears and were eating away through to his brain. And I said not to worry.
That happened to him up in Jacksonville too, didn't it?
Yeah, he gets a little overwhelmed with the insects. But takes him a while to come back around. But I give him credit, 12 years old.
Oh,
He hung in there.
Yeah, I give him a ton of credit because he hung with me all day, and we went around that island, and then chased some of the big uglies around, and he was right on my bumper the whole time.
Yeah,
he does good, man. He's you know, for being 12, and that's hard, man. You know, when you're 12, and if you don't if you're not like catching fish every 5 minutes, you know, when you're 12, it's kind of boring, you know. So.
Yeah,
he does good, man. You know.
Yeah, he's a pretty tough little guy. When we were paddling up to Homosassa on Monday, you know, he's cruising along and he's got the bulk of the paddling because the wife has got a broke wing and not mm-hmm. handling it well. And a friend of ours down the road, their daughter is on the crew team at University of Georgia. And we said, you know, that's something that you might want to try is you know, being a crew. You know, they have kayak and canoe. And he's like, I'm not a very good paddler. I'm like, dude, you keep up with adults. And I mean,
he kept up with me, no problem.
He's paddling at Tarpon 120, so it's not like he's in a kid boat. So
no, he did real well.
When we got up to Homosassa, man, it was like a parking lot at Walmart there, man. Everybody in their motorboats all dropped anchor right there around the head springs, and it was foul, man. You got 6-7 different boats with radios blaring.
I hate that.
And then, you know, you get somebody who pulls up and they just sit there and idle their motor. So, you know, you got the foul stench of exhaust fumes wafting down the water and everything, you know, and it's like, and they're all like, woohoo, this is a great time. It's like, I guess you could go hang out at the Walmart parking lot and have just as much fun, you know. But we just circled around up there. We got a little video of a couple of poor manatees that got up in there and figured out that they were not in the right place.
Yeah.
They immediately headed south down the river. But Haywood made it into the chat room. All right.
Yeah. You know, Chip, though, that it was really slow for that area for that, you know, that Saturday. That bite was terrible. Those areas that we fished where we saw all the Spanish mackerel and stuff,
right?
We should have been blowing redfish up in there, nothing. And
yeah. Well, I caught a couple of them the following day. They were just, you know, Brad hooked up on a 25, 26 incher. I caught one. And then I actually, the first day that we were there, I followed that small school up into that one little horseshoe bend there, and they picked up a gulp crab on me. But they were just smallies. I mean, that was only about 12, 14 inches. But, it was just, there wasn't much water flow there, you know. I mean, it was, you know, we're right in the middle of the moon phase, and the tide was just not moving that much, so.
Yeah, it wasn't a very good tide.
Yeah, so, but it was cool. I tell you, what was interesting was that my wife, prior for a natural resources meeting that she does, and all the Florida, the FWC guys that were there, said, oh, yeah, Cedar Key, that's out in the middle of nowhere. What are you going there for? And she's like, she came home and she's like, show me on the map where this Cedar Key is, because they said there ain't nothing there. And we looked at it, and she's like, there's no beach. I said, I didn't say there was a beach. I said we were going fishing. But Saturday, she had a great time out there. She enjoyed it. She said it was beautiful. She loved having her picture taken, and then Sunday she got on her scooter and rode down, headed down the highway. Had a good time doing that.
Did you find a restaurant?
Yeah, we went to Tony's, which is supposedly the world champion clam chowder.
Yeah.
Wasn't bad, but I couldn't find. I like fried clam strips, and I couldn't find any of that in the town of where
really?
They make where they do clams. Could
well,
not find.
I don't know. Maybe they don't fry them there.
Only steamed clams. But
maybe that's a faux pas there. They don't like to fry them.
Yeah, I guess so. But they had everything else fried. Everything else.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was a good trip. We'll do it again. She actually said she enjoyed it. She said it was nice. It's what she envisioned that Key West was. When I finally got her down to Key West the first time, she just thought that was a goat rope down there now. So,
yeah.
And it does remind me of the old Keys when I was a kid living in Miami. So.
Yeah, I much prefer going up there than the Keys.
Yeah. So. But anyways,
Chip, anything would be hard to. It's hard to beat that place that we went. We went to eat in Titusville. There, man, that place was awesome.
Yeah,
that place called Yankee Crossroads. That was it.
Dixie Crossroads.
Dixie Yankee, something like that.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Those rock shrimp.
That was
awesome. Pretty tasty there. So let's see. In the chat room, let's see where we at. Camp Dog seasoning tonight. Tommy's talking about some Camp Dog seasoning. We've got Scuba Stan in the house. He's listening in tonight. I guess Dee doesn't want to talk, so she's just sitting in the chat room. And all the rest of them are there. Hammerhead. And, popped in some fish blog. So getting some new interest showing up. Greg did a great job last night. I want to commend him. He hung in there and stuck out the whole hour. Had a guest on and everything. So he did a great job filling in as Mark has gone up to New York. His grandfather passed away. We send our condolences to him and all that. Look forward to him returning to the Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic show. So, Fish Blog, welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio. And I have a question for Mr. Greg Becker. Are you there, sir?
I am here, sir.
Please tell us, the last trip I was down at the lagoon, the Mr. Bad Batcast there had one of those breathe like a fish neck gaiters, you know, like the buff thing. But you had the shirts. Tell us about those shirts, man. I saw your a good-looking son of yours wearing one there.
Yeah, well, actually, Kent hooked us up. Kent from Breathe Like a Fish hooked
right.
us up with the shirts I got were the ones with the built-in neck gaiters. And for those of you who haven't seen it, it's breathelikeafish.com. But underneath the sleeves, from the armpit down to your wrist, on the bottom side of the sleeve where the seam would be, and down your sides from your armpit down to your hips, again, where the seams of the shirt would be, instead of being microfiber like the rest of the shirt, it's actually an open mesh, like a football shirt, or you know, like a football liner shirt or something like that. So the shirt actually breathes, and I got to tell you, I've worn a lot of different types of technical clothing for a lot of different reasons. These shirts are great. They wick sweat to help keep you cool. Every time you move, the ventilation through the shirt just gives you a little breeze just to keep you cooled off a little bit. But one of the things that I've really found challenging with wearing a gaiter or a buff type thing is I hate it when my sunglasses fog. It makes me nuts. And, if you don't get the gaiter positioned just right and you're breathing, all that humidity that you're keeping inside there gets your neck all wet and your face hot, and it fogs up your sunglasses. The Breathe Like a Fish gaiters have either, both the attached ones or the detached ones that are separate, have a mesh material where your mouth and nose would be. So when you breathe, you're breathing, you know, outside air, not inside air, in the same way when you exhale. Coolest, not necessarily cool as in, oh, that's cool, but the temperature-wise, the coolest thing I've ever worn around my neck, no problems with fogging up in the glasses. I don't have that, you know, feeling like you're sweating inside and then you're breathing into it. Really like the shirts. The junior size one that Kent sent along, they don't have the gaiters attached. So I picked up the separate gaiter for junior fly reel. And no, we didn't get matching colors, but they're close. But he didn't like wearing the other gaiter because it was too hot, even though he looked cool sitting in the back of the kayak for Haywood's pictures. He said it was a little bit hot, but he loved this one. They're really lightweight. And nothing but good things to say about them. So really, really, really happy with the product.
Yeah, it looked good. And have you worn like the Columbia long sleeve T-shirts and stuff?
Yep. I have the Columbias. I've got a bunch of stuff from Patagonia, and and some of the other manufacturers. The microfibers, you know, they might cut them a little different, or, you know, one's got a smooth surface on one side and one has the natural you know, microfiber rough to it. Both of them, you know, they're all similar, but you know, so the material is similar to like the Columbias that I've worn, or the Patagonia, any of the microfiber or the nylon type shirts. But the gills on the Breathe Like a Fish shirts really make it stand out.
Cool. And Rob, you had about the same experience with the neck gaiter you use, right? You didn't have a problem with it, did you?
No, I love, actually, you know, in what he says is right. You know, it really, you know, I have the traditional buffs, you know, and they're great and everything, and they're comfortable, but, you know, they are hot. You know, they do fog up your sunglasses, and you end up, you know, if you're not breathing out your mouth all day, it will fog up your sunglasses and get hot inside there. But the Breathe Like a Fish, you know, ventilation-wise, it's great, man. I mean, you can't even tell that you're wearing it half the time. But the issue that I do have with that is that, and, you know, maybe I just need to adjust it or alter it in some way, but it does squelch my nose down. Maybe I just have, like, a bigger nose than normal or something, but, you know, the English side of me is coming out or something. But you know, I did find that it squashed my nose down and it made it harder to breathe through my nose. That was the only other issue that I had with it. But other than that, man, it's great, you know, as far as, like, keeping cool, and it keeps you, you know, ventilated, and, you know, it wasn't hot to wear or anything like that. So I like it. It's winter. Cool. I use that a lot more than I do my buff.
Yeah. You know, I wasn't going to say anything about your nose, man, but, I mean, when we were sitting next to each other eating there, you know, you would breathe in like once, and, you know, and the rest of us are like breathing in and out, in and out, in and out, you know. You only have to, like, breathe once every five or six times that we do, so. No, I'm just joking, man. But, no, that looks cool. No, I'm gonna have to try one of the shirts.
Yeah, dude, they're awesome. I definitely can vouch for those too, man. The shirts are really good, and the mesh underneath, you know, the armpits and the you know, under your arms and everything.
Right.
It's a good shirt, man. There's nothing on the market like it. But
yeah, I was actually thinking about.
Shirt, go ahead.
Good.
Go on. Go on.
No, I was just going to say, I was actually thinking about doing some more pictures and doing a write-up for Yak Angler.
That'd be cool.
Shirts.
Definitely. Tommy just put up his link in the chat room there. If you're listening to the podcast later on in the week, it's Following Ghost. That would be 2 G's, followingghost.blogspot.com. And Tommy does some real nice work with making lures, and if you're into turkey hunting, he's got some really sweet boxes for calling turkeys too. So check that out. What were you gonna say, Rob?
You know how I'm always joking around with you guys about in the Columbia shirts that, you know, they're all pastel colors and you guys look like Easter eggs and stuff.
Right.
Well, actually, over the weekend, I was looking at some of those and I found them on sale, and the Ultra Shade. The Columbia Ultra Shade are awesome. Okay?
Right.
And they were on sale normally, like, I think they were $70, and they were on sale for $40. So those are wanted to let you know, you guys, you know, I mean, those things are really, really nice. I was really surprised at the, you know, because all the other Columbia shirts I've seen are like the, what I like to call scratchy material, you know?
Yeah.
And they're not super comfortable to wear, but this one was ultra soft and it was super thick. And supposedly, you know, reading the tag and reading into it a little bit later, you know, supposedly it's supposed to keep out, keep the sun actually away from your skin. It doesn't go through the shirt and burn your skin anyway.
Right.
So well, that they had all sorts of technology with this stuff. It was funny. They had one that was like supposedly built in bug repellent to it. I mean, I don't know anything about that technology or anything, but I thought that would be kind of neat for people that fish around the lagoon or something like that, you know, someplace where it gets kind of buggy.
And it's called Buzz Off, yep.
Does it work?
The ones I've had do. I used to wear, when I had the was involved with the Orvis shop up in New York when they first came out with it, I had a couple of the shirts. And, you know, I originally thought it was just kind of a gimmick, but they did seem to work. As strange as it sounds, actually where I got the most bang for the buck was they made socks with the Buzz Off in it. And I found once I started wearing those out in the turkey woods and stuff while I was doing up in New York, I got a ton less ticks, ton fewer ticks on my legs. And with Lyme disease, that was a real benefit. But I imagine, you know, up where I fished, you know, I didn't have the mosquitoes that two of them could carry you away. So I'm not really sure how well they'd work down here. But I you know, had a lot of people swear by them up there.
Yeah, the first time out at the lagoon, they had to hold me down while I was spraying on my bug spray.
He didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
He was too busy worried about jumping out and getting a smoke and a cup of coffee instead of putting on his bug spray like everybody else was. So, well, Greg, since you know this guy, you need to talk to him because D just reports that they don't make those shirts for women.
Well, actually, I was just that's why I asked the question. And you know, the other thing about these is they're all made here. They're all made in the U.S.
Right.
And I imagine if Kent knew there was a market out there and people interested in seeing the shirt, the pattern's not all that different. So I'm sure you'd be interested.
They do make a women's microfiber, but I don't believe it has the built-in face mask and the vents. I'm not positive, though.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So we'll have to get him on the show and ask him how they came up with that and everything. But yeah, I might have to give that a try. Another place. If you're listening to the podcast and all, one place I always like to, you know, pass on good savings deals, because it's one thing about kayak fishing is like that you can do it on the cheap. And one place I found to keep your eye open, and if you they have a page on Facebook, it's called Campmore, CampMor, and if you watch their page and all and subscribe, they send out little notices when they have sales going on, and I've got some pretty good deals on I don't know if I'm saying it properly or not, but Kokatat clothing. I love their paddling pants, and they're the quick dry material, real lightweight. I've gotten a couple of bamboo fiber shirts from them. They're a little warm in the winter, but they or in the summer, but they work great in the cooler weather as an undergarment. And they also, you know, I found out real quick that if you can wear all this quick dry material, all this technical clothing, you know, it's nice because you step out of the kayak, take a picture of a fish, or you know, wait a little while to stand up and all. But when you get back in, you dry off pretty quick. But don't forget about your drawers, because old cotton underwear don't work too well. That you just sit there, and after a day of it, you'll have some serious monkey butt going on, or as the clone calls it, salmon butt. And yeah. So that high-tech underwear is awesome because it dries out very quickly, and you don't need the D knows the Bill's like, yeah, Bill, you're a combat sort of guy, right?
Commando Haywood.
Yeah, Commando Haywood there. D said the new Campmore catalog. And if you get the Campmore catalog, it's really kind of cool because it's like recycled paper. It looks like a little bit. It's too much. Oh, Foxy Fisher is on board. It's D. Welcome aboard.
Is that Kelly?
I didn't see her sneak in there. She's right between the fishing chef and Tommy there. So, D's like Victoria's Secret bikini. Okay. I don't think I would look good in that. And
hey, Chip.
Yeah.
You know, you're always talking about quick dry and all this stuff. The that starter quick dry shirt that I was wearing at the Goon there.
Yeah.
I love that thing. That's probably one of the best shirts I've ever worn out fishing. Now, you know, I'm not built, you know, Michael Vick or anything like that, so I can't just wear that on its own. But you can get those at your big box store for about $10 a pop. And I love that thing. Now, as far as like being UTV rated and sunblock and all that, I'm not positive. I think that the one that I picked up, the long sleeve white one, is believe it's UPV 30, but I'm not gonna stake my life on it or anything like that. But that thing is great, man. It is awesome, and it dries. I mean, it keeps you cool. I've never had a shirt do that quite like that, you know.
Right.
If you're into, you know, brand names and all that stuff, they make the same, Under Armour makes the same ones, except they're about, I don't know, like $25 for the same thing as, you know, as opposed to 10 for the starter. So if you're a brand guy. I can recommend those, man. I mean, they're great. You can stay out in the kayak all day long in them, and you'll be fine.
Absolutely. And I taught physics for 4 years, and I'm gonna tell you the UPF thing. If the sun could burn you through regular clothes, then there wouldn't be no such thing as a redneck. Okay. So you look at all these guys in the southeastern United States who run around in T-shirts all the time. When they take that T-shirt off, they're white underneath there. So it doesn't have to be – I think the UPF thing is kind of a gimmick, you know, because if sun just passes through normal clear glass, it takes away the – it cleans it up so that you won't get burnt through that way. But UPF 50 clothing is kind of a gimmick to me, but I do like the quick drying aspect of the microfiber material and all, and some of it just feels, it's nice and soft on your skin and everything. So nothing agrees with me. He's been saying that for a year. Any clothing will block the sun. It's absolutely correct. I mean, you know, you wear a hat, it blocks the sun. So. But, I can do the experiment with you. Yeah, UVB is a burner, and it's blocked as it passes through any kind of material. So, but anyways, enough of the science lessons. Let's see where we're at here. So we got D. Kelly in the chat room. She says fishing is slow. And... Ex officio has been mentioned as far as products for undergarments. Some fish blog. Oh, he's not really a kayak fisherman. Jump on him. But I've seen reports. Yeah, get him. One of those motorboaters in amongst us. What are our opinions on mothershipping for tuna, etc., in the Gulf Stream? I think it's a great idea.
Oh, man, where's Chuck?
Yeah. If Redfish Chuck was here, and the problem is finding somebody with the boat that,
some fish dog, he's up there in Lanny Cruz area.
Yeah. So, mothershipping is awesome if you can find the guy to do it. If Dee was on here, she could tell us about the issues of trying to find somebody along. Isaac, have a good one, man. We'll talk to you. We'll see you on your next show. Isaac's show is on Tuesday evenings, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. And go see Linda Cavett. Yep, absolutely. Linda Cavett is a guide out of Panama City Beach. They use the Mirage Drive Hobies, and it works out really great for being out there, working your rods and everything. So, the big tahuna out of Hatteras was taking a few guys, yeah. I know, didn't Rob Choi and them, anybody recall Rob Choi and them? They go out, but I think they go right off the beach there for blackfin and stuff. I don't think they go out very far, so. But, Linda Cavett would be a good idea to talk about if you're looking to go into the Gulf. Now, if you're talking Gulf Stream on the East Coast and the Atlantic, I would say I would try to go somewhere in the Port St. Lucie Jensen Beach area, because that's where the little hump is right there on the in the peninsula, and the Gulf Stream is closest there, so you don't have to run as far. I think Chuck going out of Titusville, Port Canaveral area, is talking about like a 90 to 100 mile run to get on the other side of the Gulf Stream for tuna. So that's a pretty long day there. That's a long run no matter where you're at and what kind of boat you're in. So
especially when you run out of gas.
Yeah. Yeah. When you run out of gas, have to call the towboat. But please, if you do that, let us know, man. It makes for some good chatter. And tuna in a kayak would be awesome. What's trying to okay? So D. Kelly is saying she's off to Rookery Bay tomorrow with her kayak and 8 to 9 weight. Any advice, Bill? Go ahead and talk to her, man.
Get there early.
Early.
Yeah, this time of year, if there are any snook down there, which there probably is, I think they survived okay. There should be some snook, not all the snook off of the beach, but there should be some hanging around. This time of year, there's like, I call it the golden half hour. It's 20 to 25 to 30 minutes right when you get enough daylight to just start seeing till almost sun up. That's when those big fish will come out of wherever they're hiding and go out on the flats or look for ambush points, and they will feed. And then once that sun gets up, you know, to where it really lights up, they disappear. And this is the time of year for it. So, like, you know, some kind of gurgler or top water fly, yeah, it'd probably get hammered.
Somebody turned on their airplane, so, okay. All right, so that sounds good. Where is that, Bill? Rookery Bay.
Rookery Bay is down by Naples.
Oh, okay. I thought it sounded familiar. So, but yeah, the fish blog. He's a planker. I told him he should show up to Charleston. We are still in the planning stage. We need to create an event on yakangler.com and start getting some folks going. All right, Dee. Thanks for Dee Kaminsky. Real Kayak Fishing is headed out. So, and it was her birthday this week. Dee's birthday. Oh, come on, kids. You can do better than that. Hey. All right. Tight lines, Dee. Happy birthday. So, all right. What was I saying? Okay, so Columbus Day weekend, we're talking about a boondoggle in Charleston, South Carolina. Scuba Stan was in the chat room there a little bit earlier, and he's actually said this weekend, show up at Redanth, and I'll put you up to it, man. Some fish blog. Send me a we'll put that up. We'll get it going. We also have today we got featured on Kayak Angler magazine, kind of some of the changes that we've been doing around here at Kayak Fishing Radio. Want to do a quick shout out to Paul Leibowitz, an editor there at Kayak Angler magazine. We appreciate the support. And hopefully we'll have him back on live here again on one of our shows. Hopefully he'll show up on our West Coast show and work with Isaac there. He's got some real good info. He's got a lot of insight onto the left coast there. So Scuba Stan is supposed to be doing some recon for us and doing some fishing in the area and see where it would be best on Columbus Day weekend. So we'll have that up. What else do we got going on, Rob?
Is he doing Marine Corps recon where, it's great. It's a great area. And then we get in there and, like, have to slog, like, a mile and a half back or something?
Absolutely, man. You better get in shape, man.
Yeah, man, it's okay. It's doable. Yeah,
right.
You know, and you, like, yeah. No, I'm kidding. You know, like, from Jacksonville, you know, the last 100 yards was, like, a Marine Corps torture test or something, you know?
Yeah,
it was just funny. What else is going on? I don't know. Let's see. I might go down to that area and fish with D. Kelly there next weekend, man. I'm trying
That'd
to put
cool.
it together. Yeah. So we'll see. My buddy John lives down there and has invited me down, but he's in Ohio right now. So when he gets back, I'll probably be heading down there and. See if I can get some fishing going down there, man, with D. That would be awesome.
Yep. She'll show you the fly rod moves there, man.
Yeah, man, I need that.
That may be what you need. It's a little fish like a girl action.
Whoa, hang on. You're going to be passing down, you're going to get some to South Florida. I got a package for you, Rob. I got a package for you. I got a pair of shoes and a neck warmer for you.
A pair of shoes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I think I'm going to I see that in my future.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. Trust me, buddy. It's in your
future.
That's
coming up. That's in my future for sure, yeah. That and one of Redfish Chuck's special rods, right, Chip?
The little princess rod.
A rod with no guides on it.
Right. Or just one, just a tip top. You know, that's all you need. Right.
Yeah.
The points for Team KFR, yeah, that's still we're still hanging in there. We've got do a quick I almost blew myself out of the water here. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I hit the wrong. I hit a link and it about threw me out of the room there, off the switchboard. So let's see where we're at for Kayak Fishing Radio. We're still in the top 10. We're number 9 for the Southeast. For freshwater, saltwater, total inches, team standings in the Gulf regions, we're still in the top 25. We're actually in the top 20. We're number 19 with 375.5 inches for our first year. And D is still carrying the load, fishing like a girl with 93 total fish entered. And Chuck's 7. Chuck keeps forgetting his camera, so... We're going to have to get him like a special little dummy cord to tie his camera around his waist. Haywood's with 21 fish. I'm sitting at 2. And Rob, you're still got the 19 and 3/4 inch fish on the board, man. So,
right.
That's okay, though.
Hey, it just proves it, man. It just proves that, you know, I'm rubbish as a fisherman.
You can catch fish, you just can't catch big fish.
Right, there you go.
No.
I was going to ask, did you guys get any money fish over the weekend?
Yeah, I put one more on the board. And then Bill did you put your black drum in yet, Bill?
Yeah, I have my drum and my redfish.
Okay, yeah, you had that one redfish too. So we added a couple more onto the board. I need to get...
Cool.
We need to get some species diversification is what we need to do, because that's where the other teams are really smoking.
Yeah.
I mean, we got red drum trout. We got you put 2 snook on the board and a shark, the black drum. But everything else, I mean, these actually, you know, But the problem is Dee's got 93 fish, but she can only put one fish of each species up for inches. So, and I've only got one species up. Chuck's got just redfish and two trout. So we need to diversify with some other species. It's too bad ladyfish don't count, right?
I just haven't run into anything, you know. We've been planning tarpon trips. The tarpon aren't really lighting it up.
Not yet, no.
I haven't run across any jacks.
December.
I do have a trip in mind to try to break the black drum record, though.
Yeah? Is that someplace other than Cedar Key?
Yeah. Huh. Right here in my backyard. They're at the bridges right now, and I know a 48 pounder that was caught.
Awesome.
Wow.
Well, so, dude, those fish that the clone and I watched, if they were the same ones you guys were watching before, I think there was a 60 pounder go through there.
There could have been quite easily.
There were some monsters over there, so.
So yeah. did you figure out why they wouldn't eat?
Well, if we could do that, then it would be no fun anymore. Yeah, I don't know. I had them pick up the gulp crab, drop it. They wouldn't swallow it. You know, couldn't get anything to hold into their mouth. They wouldn't pick them up. So, yeah. But anyway, so we're about at the end of our hour here. So, Rob, you fishing this weekend, man?
Oh yeah, man. I'm going. And it's time for me to start taking Fridays off. So
there you go.
To get out fishing again. So I'm going to start doing that tomorrow. I'm not off, but I'm leaving early, and I'm getting out. Yeah, this weekend. I've got a couple of fishing trips lined up, and I'm thinking tomorrow night and Saturday, very early Sunday morning. Saturday night, Sunday morning. Around there, so and you know, probably gonna try to chase some redfish or some trout. We're going out early enough that we can hit the dock lights early before it gets light, and then be in position by the time the sky starts getting light to be on the flats.
Cool.
So that's the plan.
All right. Well, tight lines and make it happen, man. Put some fish in the boat. I tell you, man. Your year this far reminds me of the first year that I got turned on to fishing for amberjack up in Pensacola. And I wanted so bad to take some amberjack home, but they had to be like 28 inches. And I couldn't catch one to save my life that was bigger than 27 and 3/4 inches long. And I just had a policy about never putting a fish that was right on the mark in the box, because by the time I got back to the dock, where the FWC guy was going to check me, yeah, they would be shrunk by a half an inch. So
they do, man. That's true.
Yeah. So, you know, if snapper is 17 inches, I wouldn't keep anything smaller than 19 in my box. You know, would not put anything that small, nothing on the line, man. I'll take a picture of it, but definitely not put it in the box unless it's well over legal. So Haywood, are you gonna be hitting the water this weekend?
I'm not quite sure yet. Possibility I have to work Saturday maybe, but the winds aren't looking too favorable.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I got some stuff on my plate this weekend that I need to try to take care of, but. I don't know. Never know. Might get out there. I know the sharks are still out here on the South Shore, so if the winds are too, I go out there and harass them for a while.
Okay. Cool. They're points fish, right? If they're big enough, so.
Yeah, they're good point. I think they're 30 point fish right there. So.
All right.
Our tides this weekend are terrible. Though. That's another thing too.
Are they small tides again? Yeah, we're right on the new moon now.
Yeah,
right?
they're really kind of crappy.
Right. So, And Mr. Becker, how about yourself? You take that youngster out and let him show you how to catch snook?
Yeah, he seems to have the handle down on it. Yeah, I'm hoping to, but I'm looking at the same things that that Haywood is with the crappy tides and the howling winds.
Right.
And the one thing I had also thought about getting out for sharks, but Junior Flyreel and I will probably be tag teamed up this weekend, and I won't try to hook up a shark with him in the back of the kayak. It's just too unpredictable, and I don't want I don't want something to happen, and then I got to worry about him and me.
Right.
But I'll go out and take pictures of Haywood sharks. So that's,
there you go.
That's all good.
Just make sure you cut his head off.
Yeah.
I remember one of the first I took out some folks up in Pensacola, and the fishing was terrible. It was a bad tide and everything. So I put out a chum line, and we were catching some small sharks. And this one fella, he was had never done a whole lot of fishing, and he hooked into like a small little 3-foot black tip, and it was fun for him and everything. And I was helping another guy work on a reel and get it unmessed up. And about that time, I just turned around and said, "Don't bring that fish in the boat." He flipped that sucker up over the side of the boat. And we were all standing on the gunwales, man, because you just don't need a shark bouncing around in your boat, And he didn't fight it any time at all. So it was a totally green fish that he threw in the boat. And it's not safe to bring fish up in the boat with youngsters around or with people that don't know how to handle them. So doesn't matter how old they are. So anyways, all right. So Some Fish Blog, he's taken off. Put his thing up there, somefishblog.com. We'll check that out. Thanks for joining us. Foxy Fisher is still in there listening in. Tommy is listening. I hope your head's feeling better, man. And he put his link up for us. So make sure that you check that out. You can connect with us on our Facebook page at Kayak Fishing Radio, or follow us on Twitter at Kayak Fish In Radio. That's Fish In Radio, not Fishing. And Fish with an N. That's right. All right. So, or you can get our attention by using the hashtag KFR or Kayak Fishing, and we'll see it. So, Mr. Becker, Mr. Haywood, thanks for joining us. And Rob?
Yes, sir.
Good luck, man, and we'll see you next week.
All right, man. Got a guest coming on Tuesday, so pay attention.
All right, I will. I will pay attention to it. All right, so we're going to take it on out of here. Y'all have a good evening. Greg, Foxy, yep, let us know how you do tomorrow. Tight lines, Hammerhead, we'll see you. Thanks again for standing in last night. You did a great job. And we're out of here. Kayak Fishing Radio. Tight lines, take a kid fishing.